last Sunday morning, we had Pastor Mary share here in the main service, and I was in the equip class. And if you want to turn over to Hebrews 11, we talked about all the different situations concerning faith, by faith. But specifically, I wanted to look at verse 8 today and connect that with Psalm 37 and some other scriptures we're going to look at. But in Hebrews 11, 8, in the New King James, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. I think that's an interesting phrase, not knowing where he was going. Some people have this idea that faith means I have it all figured out, and I've got it already settled, and I know it. And the point that I was making last Sunday morning in the equip class is, no, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of the things not yet seen. You may have what you see by faith, the promises of what God has given us, but you may not see the end result. You may not see the destination totally yet. And so sometimes we may feel that there are certain changes coming, like what we're going through as a church right now with transitioning to Saturday nights and transitioning to our 242 groups during the midweek. All of this may have that sense of feeling for you, like, where are we going as a church? What's going on? Well, don't worry, God has a plan. God has seen ahead and made provision. We may not see the whole picture yet, but He does. He can step back from His place in eternity and see the whole picture. Our responsibility is to check in with Him, and every now and then He's going to pop a slide in there and show us an image of what's going on right now. See, you and I, what we want to do is we want to see the whole movie all at one shot. We want to have everything given to us instantaneously and be able to understand everything from beginning to end. And you've heard me share enough times in the last year about He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning. And so He's everything in between. He's not just a couple of bookends, right? He's everything in between. And He's going to lead us, and He's going to guide us, and He's going to allow us to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is very simple. It says, for we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. So in other words, I walk by the promises of God, and I walk, my step-by-step life is based upon those promises. And I walked those things out, just like Abraham, not knowing where he was going. Say, well, where are we going a year from now? I think we understand where we're going, basically. But God has some really good things in store for us, I believe. Because it says, he, by faith, obeyed when he was called to go out and do something. You know, one of the hardest things as a pastor is when God starts to tell you to do something is to kind of get everybody on the same page with you. Because everybody has opinions, especially in our nation. Everybody's got their own opinion. You know, some people say, well, I don't want to go to Saturday nights. I want to go to Sunday nights. Well, some say, well, I don't want to go Sunday nights. I want to go to Friday nights. Well, I don't want to leave Sunday mornings. Everybody's got an opinion. But when the Lord gives us direction, As the pastor, I have the responsibility to hear what he says and then do my best, as it says here. By faith, Abraham obeyed. See, I'm going to walk by faith, obeying him, more so than walking by sight, which sometimes means looking at the faces of other people who are disagreeing with what I think God told us to do. Now, fortunately, I don't think we have a lot of that. But in the same sense, the enemy may come along and try to sow doubt or unbelief or questions in your heart. But at the same time, this says, no, we can understand how to step out in faith. How many of you ever heard that cliche? Yeah, to step out in faith. Well, what does that mean? That means, just like Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out to some place. He may not even have understood where that place was, but he knew that place had an inheritance for him. He knew that place had something for him. So he's stepping out into that place of an inheritance. He went out, it says, not knowing where he was going. In the sense, physically, he didn't know where he was going, but he knew that he should obey. He knew that he had to go. He knew that he had to leave where he was, that comfort zone, that those things that were normal, everyday things to him. We were kind of talking about this last week. I've been cleaning out the offices and so forth, getting ready for the sale of the building and the other congregation that's going to be coming in and taking over the church. They'll be taking over the main offices, and we'll be moving down to an office downstairs. And so someone asked me, aren't you going to feel bad about losing your office? And I said, no, because I stand in an office. I don't live in an office. I stand in an office. My office is who I am and where I walk. Amen. Just because there's shelves and there's a desk and I got my own little drawer with all my junk in it, it's probably a good time to clean out all the junk is what it is. It's got 30 years of junk in there. But see, you start getting like, oh, I don't want to change. I don't want anything to be different. But sometimes things get different. So it says we walk by faith, not by sight. And we go from faith to faith. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. You know, when God spoke to the people of Israel, or he spoke to Abraham, every time he spoke to them, there was a responsibility of obedience and faithfulness on their part. Abraham's descendants finally ended up in God's promised land because of his faithfulness and obedience, didn't he? But God doesn't give us every little detail of the entire plan all at one time, all one giant revelation. And we shouldn't sit around and wait trying to figure out what that plan is. Because most of the time, I've seen people sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting. By the time they finally figure out a little bit of it, they've missed most of their opportunities. We know that the Holy Spirit's going to lead us step by step, day by day, small steps, slow and steady, gradual progress. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul's writing to the church in Rome. He's saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Some of your more modern translations have also added in there, and in their faithfulness, because that word faith there should be also translated faithfulness. So we have this portrayal of a person saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I understand that that gospel, this truth that we've been given, is the power of God unto salvation. That's where my salvation comes from. It's not through my works. It's not belonging to a particular denomination, going to a particular church, being baptized in a certain way. Certain denominations have come up with certain rules and said, well, if you haven't exactly been prayed in Jesus only, you're really not saved. You know, where do they find all that stuff? They're picking and choosing specific scriptures and ignoring others. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I know in these last decade or so, there's been a lot of arguments about dual covenant and the Jews have a different covenant. We don't have to witness to Jews. I think Paul would have an issue with that, especially based on this verse, because, you know, the initial first church, they were all Jews. And if there was a different covenant for Jews getting saved and being able to get into the kingdom, Jesus would have gone right to the Gentiles. And I won't get off on that right now. Thank you very much. So therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. Faith isn't something that you get it and then say, well, that's it. I've got my faith in this area and I'm done. You know, it's not like saying, well, I have faith for healing because I got healed once. You want to walk in divine health. Because we live in a hostile world. There may be other situations that come along. You need to keep your faith built up. That's why we have the equip class. Keeps you equipped, not only for yourself, but to be able to share with others. That's the purpose of a disciple, to go lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. But the disciples have to know how to do that. They have to be equipped. That's why we come together. So here's this principle. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as we walk in obedience and faithfulness, step by step, day by day, the little things that God shows us. If there's one thing I've learned in over 30 years of ministry, is I have seen people fail because all they want to do is the one big thing. I keep trying to encourage people, stop thinking about the one big thing. Do 25 little things and you'll accomplish more than that one big thing. Do that one little thing God told you to do today. Because your faithfulness and your obedience to that one thing, that one step-by-step principle today, takes you to the progress and the victory of the next day. It takes you to the progress and the victory of the next day. But so many times we're thinking about this big picture. Psalm 37 again. Verse 23 in the New King James just says very simply, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. As I said, the Amplified, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step. We'll talk about those pronouns of he and his and himself in just a minute because that can be very confusing. Sadly, sometimes what happens, people use this verse to get into the whole concept of, I would call it predestination, Calvinism, sovereignty of God teaching that says God's in control. They say, well, see, the steps of a good man are order of the Lord. The Lord ordered your steps. The Lord ordered your steps to be here this morning. Well, let me ask you something. How many times have you ever gotten orders and didn't do them? Look at me like that. We've all had orders given to us at times by somebody, and we didn't necessarily walk them out. Because he ordained them or ordered them gives us the opportunity to choose whether or not we're going to respond faithfully and in obedience. God went to Abraham, and the steps of Abraham were ordered of the Lord. He said to Abraham, get up, get out of your country, take your family, leave, and get out of here. What did Abraham have a choice to do? Obey or stay. Isn't that simple? So here's, even though people say, well, see, God ordered his steps. Yeah, God can order them, but that doesn't necessarily mean he makes us do them or perform them. That's where we come in. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 says this, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. And then he warns them about the negative side of it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you. What has he done? He set before us life and death. Blessing and cursing. I wish someone would put in parentheses, choose. But he says, therefore, choose life. He gives us even better example. He says, not only am I putting something in front of you, I'm telling you that if you were smart, this is what you'd choose. Because there's a lot of people that are choosing the wrong thing. I have set before you today life and good, up in verse 15, death and evil. I think that's interesting the way he says it up there. And he says it the same way in verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He does two different things here. Mankind doesn't always follow directions. How'd that work for Adam and Eve? Didn't he say, all of these trees you can do what? Eat of them? But see that tree over there? That tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. He spoke about life and death. Well, see, man had already fallen into that place. So he's saying, I'm setting it before, continually setting before you as humanity. Continually setting before you as every man, woman, and child. You're going to have to choose. But I'm telling you, choose life. Both Adam and Eve failed that simple test of what was set before them. And guess what? We're going to fail it too. We've all failed it at times. We've all sinned short of the glory of God. But thank God for repentance and for the opportunity to turn around to renew our mind and to get back on track step by step with God. You know, sitting in my office, and I had one of these little stir sticks from Caribou here. And I was thinking of the illustration. Pastor Mary and I, we like to go to the Ordway. I like classical music. I'm not into opera, but I like classical music, Mozart, Mendelssohn, things like that. And so you go to the chamber orchestra, and they have all these instruments there, all these musicians. And the conductor comes in, and what does he do? He's getting everybody's attention. He's got his little baton. And they all know the kind of music they're going to play. But let's just say he showed up, and this guy over here, he's really a violin player, but he thought, I don't want to play the violin. I'm going to go back there and play the tuba. And the tuba player says, forget that. I'm playing the harp today. And the guy on the trombone, he says, you know, I've never played a piccolo. I'm going to try that piccolo. And he goes over there. And so the conductor's going like, no. Guys, we got to play this song. We've got this piece of music I want you to play. I'm the conductor. You're the musicians. Now, everybody, and then they all just start doing, you've ever been there and they hear them all warm up? Talk about bad news. About discord. Sometimes I look at God and think, he must be standing up there as the conductor, trying to direct our steps, and we're all off doing everything else, and he's over here playing the piccolo, and he's over here playing the tuba, and he's over here playing, and everybody's just like, and he's going, ah! Trying to get our attention. See, the conductor doesn't make us play the instrument. The conductor conducts so that we make sure we're playing the right part. What happened when we started praise and worship? There's a new song. I've practiced that thing, I don't know how many times it got. And first thing that happened, I hit the wrong beat. That's what happens when you're not used to it yet. You're getting used to it. You're having to learn. As soon as I made that one blunder, then I could get back on the beat. What happens? You've got to have somebody setting that beat for you. God and the Holy Spirit is inside of us, leading us step by step, beat by beat, every single day, asking us to do the simplest little things. Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to those guys, whatever Jesus says to you to do, just do it. And they're thinking, oh, I can't do it. And he says, go fill up those water jugs. How hard was that? One simple little thing. And then who really did the miracle? Did those guys? No. Did Mary? Some Catholics might think so. Huh? No, we have to understand Jesus, God Almighty, is the miracle worker. We just have to simply obey the simplest little things, the easy little things. He sets before us life and good, and unfortunately, because we live in a fallen world, there's also set before us death and evil. And he's telling us how to choose life. He's teaching us over and over through his word, choose life. This is what life looks like. And he shows us images and examples and illustrations of that all throughout the word. Psalm 37, again, the Amplified, verse 23. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord. So God is going to establish those steps. He's going to establish and direct and, in a sense, put out there what we need to do. He's going to give us the direction. He's the conductor directing this orchestra of our life. And it says, when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step, then we're going to see progress. Now, the Amplified actually is very interesting because it uses pronouns and it capitalizes the he when it's referring to God, and the his is small h when it's referring to humanity. So let's read this and put our name in there when it's his and God's name in there when it's his. It might make a little more difference to you. The steps of a good man, of us, are directed and established by the Lord. When the Lord delights in our way and the Lord busies himself with our every step. Does that make more sense to you? Do you know that it says that God's busying himself with our every step? I wish we were as busy with our steps as he is. Hello? Just think about that. It says he busies himself. He's in there watching and directing and trying to get us to take every step by faith, to trust him, to rely on him, to listen to him, to obey him, to respond to the Holy Spirit. When he gives us the word and he reveals something, every single one of you, whether you understand or not, will get something out of this message today. One little nugget, if you go home today and that's all you get, I've done my job. Because one little nugget of truth can change the direction of your, will just change the way you step through life. If I can just nudge you one little bit, you won't fall off that cliff. If I can give you just one little bit of information and understanding and wisdom so that you can go the right direction, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing here this morning. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to equip us. He's getting us to understand one little thing, perhaps two or three little things, hopefully. But if all it is to direct us and to establish us, because it says he delights. Can you imagine that? He's sitting up there in our humanity, in his eternity, looking at our humanity going, wow, I'm really blessed to see so-and-so sitting in church this morning. He says to Jesus, did you see that? Isn't that great? And then he sees someone else who's sitting in their lazy boy this morning. And he says, Holy Spirit, get on him. And then he says to one of you, get on him. Encourage them. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's what Hebrews 10 talks about. Oh, if the Lord wants him there, he'll direct his steps to the church. I don't know about you, but you know, my kids are little. They didn't have a choice. I directed their steps and said, in the car or going to church.
I don't want to go to church. I'm tired.
None of you ever did that, I know. But sometimes you just say, nope, we're going to church. And sometimes that's what you have to do with people. I'm sure that God would love to come down sometimes and just grab us all by the back of the neck and just say, all right, buddy. Compel them to come in. Isn't that what Jesus said? Compel them. Well, we need some compelling out there. Psalm 37, God desires to lead us and guide us in our every simple, every step-by-step things, the smallest, little simplest instructions, so that we can make progress. So I don't know about that. Okay, turn over to Proverbs 20, verse 24. Let's look at that. Proverbs 20, 24. Now again, I'm going to give you the Amplified version because King James loses it. Proverbs 20, 24. The Amplified says, man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Very similar to Psalm 37. Man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can a man understand his way? He's asking, how can a man want to be able to see the whole picture all at one time? If we've got to walk step by step, and sometimes saying, well, I'm not taking another step till you show me the whole picture, guess what? Then you're going to stop. And that's sadly what I've seen happen with some Christians, is they get into the things of God and something else happens, or they don't learn the fact of how to walk by faith, not by sight. They don't learn how to trust God in every area of their life for every single day. And they kind of just slow down. Eventually they just stall out and their Christianity just kind of comes to a halt. Well, it's time to take another step, step by step. Man's steps are ordered by the Lord. I love what the New Living Translation says there in Proverbs 20. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? He says, don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to understand it all right now. Just take those steps. One step at a time, one little simple step at a time. One little step of obedience leads you to the next. One little step of obedience leads you to the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And before you know it, you've got it. You know, I could get real practical here, but sure enough, someone would get upset about it and say, well, how are you going to lose 20 pounds? Well, see, back a couple of decades ago, they were doing commercials. You come in here and we got this thing called liposuction. We'll put a vacuum cleaner in there, we'll suck all the fat out. and you'll lose 20 pounds in 20 minutes. Problem is, they'd gain it all back in 10 days. Because those fat cells are still there, and they didn't change their eating habits. We're all dealing with the battle of the bulge when you get to a certain point. But you know what? It's an issue of, if I don't deal with it every single day, if I don't watch my steps every single day. Now, some people laugh about it, but I got this little thing on my hip right here. It's called a Fitbit. It measures my steps. Every single day, at the end of the day, it records how many steps I took. And I look at it, and some days, the other day we went to the fair with some friends and the kids and the grandkids, and I did 18,000 steps that day. But then yesterday I was in the office most of the day, I was sitting, I was studying, I was working. I only did like 2,500. So guess what? Didn't get a lot of brownie points for that one. See, I set a goal for every day. I want to do at least 7,000 steps to 10,000 steps because that tells me I'm going to burn off some of this fluffiness. I want to be able to make sure I'm heading in the right direction. And some days I look at it and say, yes. And other days I say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was sitting on my blessed assurance too much. I wasn't up moving around. But I started measuring every single step. I became very conscious of every single step. Now just think, if you and I could have a little gizmo attached to us and be aware of every single step when it comes to natural things, how much more do I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me to tell me how to walk every single step by faith? That's what he's asking us to do, step by step. He's very aware of it. He's very involved in it. He's delighting it. It says he busies himself with every step we take. I look at that and I read that. How did they come up with that? But some Hebrew scholar that the Amplified looked to and all the way it's translated into the Hebrew language said what it's implying is that God is very personally involved in every single step you take in life. Every single moment, there's no place for you to escape. The fact that God is there with you, leading and guiding and directing and encouraging you to walk in the way that we should walk in. As it says, he encouraged Joshua, walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. Why? Because it starts with, because you love the Lord your God. The message says the very steps we take come from God. Otherwise, how would we know where we're going? Or where we should go is really one way to put it. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 puts it this way. It says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. Now, see, there's a lot of people planning their own course. I've been to enough leadership things, and when I was back in the business world, you know, you map out your one-year plan, your five-year plan, your 10-year plan. Forget it. By the time 10 years comes along, most plans are already, you know, I'm still working on a 10-minute plan sometimes. God has plans for us. Our goal, successful in life, is to find out what the plans and purposes of God are and pursue them with all your heart. When you find that out, you're going to be able to walk in the things that God has promised you. He says, I know that the Lord, our lives are not our own. See, that's a revelation. Now, Jeremiah was one of those prophets that the glass was always half empty. Well, not just that. The glass was cracked. And everything God poured into it, every time God would pour into Jeremiah, would he's kind of the crybaby prophet, they call him. So here we got this guy. He's saying, Lord, I know my life isn't my own. We're not able to plan our own course. And it could almost sound like, oh my, oh me, just give up, just sit down and do nothing. But that's not what he's talking about, I believe. I believe he's saying he's realizing, God, I've tried to plan my own course. God, I've tried to run my own life. And guess what? I've made a mess of it. I can admit to that before I met Christ, before I came to Christ, my life was all messed up. And I had done a really good job of it without any help. Why? Because we're fallen. We've come up short. We've got our own limited understanding, and we're usually very self-centered. And so it's going to be self-destructive in many cases. But thank God when we come to Christ and He's there and He gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, thank God, then we can start to trust Him. And Proverbs 3 says this, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's a direct promise from God. He will direct your paths. All these scriptures that we're looking at, every single one of them saying, the steps of a righteous man are directed, established by the Lord. He says He'll give us those paths to walk in. He'll give us the right ways to walk through life. Step by step, He's saying. 1 Peter chapter 2, most of the scriptures I've given you are promised scriptures from the Old Testament. Let's move into the New Testament and see what God had used on this side of the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 in the Message. 1 Peter 2:21. This is the kind of life you've been invited into. The kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came His way, so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. You know, sometimes when I get a message, and sometimes I get a theme for a message, it's I'm just reading other scriptures, I'm reading through something, I'm just being drawn to certain passages, just my daily reading, things like that, you know, your devotionals as they call them. And something like that will jump out. And that's what happened with this, because it's in tune with what we've been studying. And some of these scriptures here in Thessalonians, others, just kept jumping out at me about the steps of a righteous man. And that He leads us step by step. And the challenges that we have as we go step by step. Listen to this again. This is the kind of life you've been invited into. Do you understand that? That you've been invited into a kind of life that's different than the life we had before. Now again, sometimes we don't even realize what a difference that life can be because we're so surrounded and used to the life we're living. And some people you get around, it's a life that's always got sickness. There's some people in our family, we know them. No matter what's going on, they're always, you know, I'm not on Facebook. Every now and then somebody shows me something on Facebook. But I forget. But they'll, every week, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that. What is their testimony? What's the consistency throughout? They're walking in this. This is their lifestyle. They're dealing with sickness almost every week. And so I'm asking myself, I don't want to walk that way. I want to walk in divine health. I want to walk in the promises of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. And in Him there is no sickness. And in Him there is no poverty. And in Him there is no fear. And in Him there is no worry. This is the kind of life, it says, you've been invited into. The kind of life that Christ lived. Now, the sad thing is, we just think it's going to be all wonderful, you know, hunky-dory. We're just going to be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, and doing all this kind of stuff, walking on water. But look at the rest. He says, He suffered everything that came His way, so that you and I, so to speak, would know that it could be done. Well, what do you mean, what could be done? That you could survive it, that you could walk through it, that every step by step by step you can get through it. Now, I know I've joked about it. Annette will testify to this. If you want to get me going and make me feel upset, talk to me about the dentist. Now you go watch a TV show or you hear just that sound of that whirl, that just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Just I've been in that chair too often and tortured one too many times. Come on. I have had to learn over the years to walk by faith when I go to the dentist. Now it's not so bad. I go there all prepared. I get myself all built up. And I go in there with this attitude, this too shall pass. I'm at the, anytime I come to something difficult, anytime I come to something uncomfortable, this is how I have learned to deal with it over the years. I just think about it this way. In 60 minutes, this will all be over. So I start thinking about what it's going to be like in 60 minutes. I start thinking about what it's going to be like in 2 hours. I start thinking what it's going to be like tonight when I go to dinner. I start thinking about it. So I, in a sense, walk by faith past it and through it and survive it. I know it's going to be tough. I know I'm going to sit there and I'm going to regret going through it. But you know what? I can get through it because Jesus, it says he has suffered everything that came his way so that you and I would know how it could be done. It says, for the promises set before him, he did what? He endured the cross. Well, if he can do that, I can endure the dentist chair. And you can endure sitting through my sermon. Huh? What do we have to endure? What do we have to put up with? What do we have to walk through in life? We've been invited into the kind of life, he says, that, yeah, there's going to be challenges. It may even be difficult. It may even be the kind of walk that afterwards you're feeling the aches and pains of it. I guarantee you, walking all day at the fair, some people felt it. Now, Pastor Mary and I, when we go up to the North Shore, we like to go hiking. This last year, we went on a hike that we had never done before. A lot of times, there's certain ones we really like. There's just certain views up there on the hillside, and the mountain-type areas and Lake Superior. It's just beautiful, especially coming up this time of year. Well, we went on this new hike and walking around these paths. Problem is, we didn't have the right map. Oops. And I wanted to get to a certain place, a certain lookout, and we were going down the trail and stumps and rocks and bugs and you're walking and everything and somebody had messed up the trail sign that had been posted and the things that they mark on the trees. So you take this path, you take that path. And well, guess what? We didn't necessarily take the right path all the time. Well, what we saw was really nice, but it was on not where I wanted to go. And so you're hiking and you're hiking and you're hiking and you're hiking. And you ever get to that point to think, is this thing ever going to end? How do I get out of here? And you reach the point where you realize, I could turn back. But I've already been on this path for an hour. So that means it's going to be an hour back. And I haven't gotten to where I want to be. Is it worth turning around and quitting? See, I don't have a lot of quit in me. I'm one of those guys that, I'm going to see this through to the end. I'm going to keep going because if that's where I want to go, that's my final destination. If that's the goal that I have set before me, I'm going to keep pushing on. I'm just one of those kind of guys. I will trudge along little by little, step by step. I'm going to get there. And we walked and walked. And I had this thing on and it showed me where we walked and walked and walked and walked. Came down out of that mountain area and we were back in the parking lot and realized I didn't get to where I wanted to go. I walked in a big circle. And sometimes you think, boy, that was a waste of time. But I realized, we saw some really beautiful places up there. I've got a cool picture of her standing by this huge rock overlooking this huge cliff, looking out over all these lakes, this lake area, this woods. So I could either appreciate that or I can sit and bellyache the whole time. Oh, somebody ruined the sign. Somebody took all the maps. There's a lot of Christians doing that. Bellyaching about their life. Bellyaching because God didn't come through the way they thought he should come through. They didn't follow what they thought God wanted them to. A lot of times it was them coming up with an idea and then going to God and asking God to bless it rather than finding out what God wants. It's already blessed. That'll go over good, won't it? This is the kind of life you've been invited into. The kind of life Christ lived. It says he suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. you could know that it could be done, and also know how to do it step by step. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the Message says exactly the same way, and we're really to be examples to others the way this puts it. He says, now that was Peter speaking earlier, now this is Paul. I experienced all this firsthand. With each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his own kingdom, into this delightful life. I always get a kick out of that when some of these translators put those kind of descriptive adjective words in there. Do you think Paul's life was delightful, getting stoned and shipwrecked and persecuted and chased everywhere? And he's going, isn't this wonderful? My life is so wonderful and so delightful. Glory to God, I wonder if I'm going to get beat up today. How many of you get up in the morning and think like that? This delightful life. No, we do everything to avoid conflict. We do everything to, no, I don't want to have any problems. Just leave me alone. And Paul's attitude was, hey, I've experienced this all firsthand. I've been through all this. I know exactly how it is. I've been like a father to a child. I'm holding your hand. I'm whispering encouragement to you. Hopefully that's what I'm trying to do this morning to you. I'm showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his kingdom, into his, he says this, but I think it's his delightful life. See, if we just look at this life, we could say, well, this isn't very delightful. There's something wrong here. But if I look at my whole life as his life, then it's delightful. It's perspective, isn't it? Psalm 25, verse 8 says this in the Message. God is fair and just. I like this part. He corrects the misdirected and sends them in the right direction. He gives the rejects his hand and leads them step by step. From now on, every road you travel will take you to God. Follow the covenant signs and read the charted directions. That's what I needed on that little hike we had. Somebody to leave the signs up there so I could follow them. But I like this. God is fair and just. We have to trust in that. He corrects the misdirected. You know, at some point in our life, every one of us has been misdirected. Someone will say something to us that influences us. We start down a path. We do things. We make choices. We get off course. Misdirected. And he sets them and sends them in the right direction. If we will listen to his voice, if we hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God, he will start to turn us around, and we will start to head in the right direction. And then he says, he gives the rejects his hand and leads them step by step. The rejects. I like that one. Yep, that's me. Now, it's not people that have, you know, been rejected by God. It's really people that have been rejected by the world because we're not cool enough, we're not worldly enough, we're not living up to their standard, or we're not doing it their way, and so they no longer accept us. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Christ, all my so-called friends abandoned me, and all of a sudden I knew what rejection was real quick. So have you. And at that point, you realize, well, I may be rejected by them, but I'd rather have acceptance by God. Amen? He gives the rejects his hand and leads them step by step. From now on, every road you travel will take you to God. So he's going to start redirecting our life. We were misdirected. We were going away from God. We were heading in the wrong direction. And he says, no, turn this way, turn around, and head this direction. Every road now that we travel will start to lead us back to God. Follow those covenant signs, he says. Read those charted directions. Where are you going to end up? Right in the middle of God's will. Oh, but God's in charge of everything. Well, then why does it say he's going to lead us? Why would it say that he would direct us? Why would he say that he corrects our misdirection? Did he take me in that misdirection to start with? I doubt it. My foolishness and my carnality and my self-centeredness probably took me in that direction. He didn't send me there. I wandered off there on my own. Let's start to wrap this up. Joshua chapter 1, familiar passage. But I'm going to read it to you out of the message. Verse 5. I love this. I encourage you to personalize this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. This is God promising Joshua something. Can you imagine trying to fill the shoes of Moses after all that the nation of Israel had seen Moses come, deliver them out of Egypt, all the signs and wonders and miracles and the glory of God shining upon his face. I mean, just so many things. And Moses is going to pass the baton to Joshua, and Joshua says, I'm not like you. I don't have all this stuff. I'm not anywhere near the kind of man you are with God. And then God shows up to Joshua and says, hey, in the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't give up on you. He says, and I won't leave you. Now, if I just took that as a promise personally, based on what we just read in Psalms and Thessalonians and Peter and Proverbs and all these other scriptures, God is saying to me, I will be with you step by step. I will not leave you. I am for you. I am not against you. I'm on your side is what he's saying. Verse 6, strength and courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Verse 7, give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Now listen to this. Don't get off track. Boy, that's easy to do if we're not careful. Either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of mind. So in other words, don't lose that map, those covenant signposts. He says, ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you strength, courage? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Oh, if you can't go home with anything else, I trust that when you leave this building this morning, you are aware that God goes with you every step you take. You didn't come and have time with God, and then you leave, and you go out there, and you left God in the church, in the building. God, this is not God's habitation. You are. God goes with you every step of the way. Every single step you take, he's there with you. He's there to lead you, to guide you step by step every single day. And you walk by faith. So I don't even know what tomorrow's bringing. Oh, tomorrow's Monday. Got to go back to work. Got to do this. Got to do that. Yeah, but you don't know what else it might bring. It might bring a great opportunity to witness to somebody. Might bring a great opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Might be a great opportunity to lay hands on the sick. Are we expecting that? Are we walking by faith and having confident expectation of things of that nature to come up? Or are we just trudging through life, punching the clock, waiting for the rapture? Huh? God, your God, is with you every step you take. You know, sometimes we just have to be so God-aware and God-inside-minded. Proverbs puts it this way in chapter 5, verse 21. Mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. Well, of course he is, because, again, back to Psalm 37, step by step, the life of a righteous man is ordered and established by the Lord. Of course, he knows and he's aware of every step we take. Father, I just thank you this morning that we can be encouraged to be aware of your presence. That we're not alone. As you said to Joshua, you would be with us. You'll not leave us. You'll not forsake us. you won't give up on us. You'll continue to speak to our hearts. I thank you we can hear your voice. The voice of another we will not follow. I know there are many voices in the world today. But we can be still and know that you are our God. We can be still and know your voice. And hear that voice. Sometimes it's a still small voice, but it's so profound. It's so powerful. It's so peaceful. It's the voice we need to pay attention to. So I thank you, Father, for each person that hears this message. They will understand that they have been made the righteousness of God when they've accepted Christ. They've been made the righteousness of God. And the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered, directed, given, led by you. They're established by you. So we purpose to follow them. We purpose to yield to them. We purpose to seek your face, seek your plans, seek your goals, not our life. Our life is not our own anymore. So we thank you that we can walk this out step by step. We give you all the glory for it and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to receive our offering this morning. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. One thing we want to say is how blessed we've been with people using the electronic giving, the push pay. It just seems that that's been very helpful for a lot of you. Thank you. And especially when we go to the 242 midweek groups, that's definitely going to be easier for a lot of people. If you need an offering envelope, there should be one right there in front of you. Fill it out completely, legibly, and we'll go from there. All right. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just, again, are so thankful that you have blessed us, that we are a blessed nation, a blessed people, that we can honor you with our tithes and offerings and designations. This is one of the simplest acts of obedience. This is one of the simplest places to walk by faith, to trust you as our provider. Sometimes we trust in our own selves. We trust in our own labor. And we are fearful or concerned about honoring you with our first fruits. But every promise that you've given us, Father, has an abundant result. And honoring you with our tithes and our offerings is one of the easiest ways, one of the first steps of faithfulness and obedience. If we be willing and obedient, your word says, we shall eat the good of the land. Sometimes we're willing but not obedient. Other times we're obedient, not very willing. But we need to be both today, Father, willing and obedient. And there's a promise that we will eat the good of the land. Father, I thank you for the good that we all be, we, because we are going to be a blessing, we'll be blessed, even be a bigger blessing next time. So we honor you, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,